We are in Daniel chapter 10 today. You can turn with me there in your Bible, and as you're turning there, let's pause and pray before we dive into God's Word together. Father, what a privilege we have to open your Word together, to hear your voice. Lord, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts overflowing with amazement at who you are, what you've done, how much you love us. Deepen our affections for Jesus today. Grow us to be more like you. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Daniel chapter 10 is a chapter on spiritual warfare, and today we're going to look at human weakness and God's strengthening touch in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict or a great warfare. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all. For the full 3 weeks, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river that is the Tigris. The first year of Cyrus, he issued the decree allowing the Jews to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. In the second year of Cyrus, only 42,360 Jews, according to Ezra chapter 2, returned to Jerusalem. The work of rebuilding was slow. Now, 536 BC, the third year of Cyrus, the foundation of the temple still had not been laid. The 14th day of the month, of the first month, would have been the first Passover celebration back in the land in 50 years. A celebration of God's deliverance of his people from captivity. Daniel, during Passover, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, abstained from delicacies for 3 weeks of days, right through Passover, right through the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was at the end of this time, on the 24th day of the month, that he received a vision. Possibly a mighty angel. We learn in chapter 12 that there were at least two other angels who appeared to him on the banks of the river during this vision. Possibly this was an appearance of the pre-incarnate Son of God, Jesus, who has always existed as God before he came to earth as a human, born of a virgin. The description of what Daniel saw is very similar to what John saw in his vision of the resurrected Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. Daniel 10 verse 5 says, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So Daniel was not alone. We don't know who was with Daniel. He is at least 20 miles from Babylon on the banks of the Tigris River. Now Daniel was appointed by Cyrus as one of his three top officials. It's possible he would have been accompanied by other servants of the king. We don't know who was with him, but he was not alone. Someone was with him. But it is interesting that although Daniel was with others, Daniel alone saw the vision. This is similar to what happened to Saul when he was confronted by the risen Jesus on the way to persecute Christians in Damascus. He says in Acts chapter 26, "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' Saul and all those who were journeying with him ended up on the ground, surrounded by light." He adds in Acts chapter 6, he tells this story three different times, adds different details each time. Acts chapter 6, he says, Acts chapter 9, "The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one." The others, they heard the voice, but they didn't see who was speaking. He clarifies in Acts chapter 22, "Now those who were with me saw the light but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me." The others end up on the ground with Daniel. They don't see anyone. They see light. They heard the sound of the voice, but they didn't understand what the voice said. In John 12, near the end of Jesus' ministry, as the time of his crucifixion was drawing near, he said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine." God the Father answers Jesus from heaven, and different people hear different things. Some identify this as the voice of an angel. Others thought it had only thundered. Some are given ears to hear the voice of God. Others aren't. Even when we are with others, God can communicate individually, specifically, personally with us. Now, usually a voice or a vision from heaven is accompanied by great fear. Whether it's understood or not, often the first words from any angel appearing are, "Fear not." Why? Because their very appearance strikes terror in the hearts of mortal man. When Jesus' glory was revealed on the mountain, and Peter started talking because he didn't know what to say. By the way, that's not a great idea. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. This is the appropriate response of sinful humans who find themselves in the presence of the Holy One. Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, when he saw a vision of the Lord high and lifted up, he said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And I dwell, for my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts. Woe is me. I am lost. I am undone. I am destroyed." For a human to be aware of the divine presence, and God is present everywhere, but when he manifests his presence, to be aware of the divine presence is also to become acutely aware of our own helplessness, our own sinfulness, how far we fall short, what we truly deserve. Woe is me, I am lost. When the angel of Yahweh, which is another name for Jesus appearing in the Old Testament, when he appears to Samson's parents in Judges 13, it says Manoah did not know he was the angel of Yahweh. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name so that when your words come true, we may honor you?" And the angel of Yahweh said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to Yahweh, to the one who works wonders. And Manoah and his wife were watching. And when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of Yahweh went up in the flame of the altar. Now Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of Yahweh appeared no more to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of Yahweh. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die, for we have seen God." Manoah and his wife realized the one they had been speaking to was God himself, the second person of the triune God, and their response was to fall on their faces. "We shall surely die, for we have seen God." It's right, it's good to fear the divine presence. When Daniel saw this vision in chapter 10, the men who were with him were terrified and they fled to hide themselves. There is a day coming, Revelation 6 tells us, when the kings of the earth and all the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, will hide themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us." Now, I can't think of something more terrifying than being in the mountains and having the mountains fall on you. That doesn't sound pleasant. They are praying for this to happen. "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" They would rather be crushed by the mountains than face the holy God. That day is coming, and there will be no place to hide. But today is the day of salvation. Run to Jesus. Seek refuge in the one who is worthy to be feared. Fly for safety into the open arms of Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. How? Because he took the wrath of God toward my sin on the cross. He paid my price in full. Run to him and find rescue. Find safety. Flee to the Son. Verse 8, "So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees." Here's Daniel's response. He calls this a great vision, and it left him completely without strength. Remember, this is not the first vision Daniel had been given. In chapter 7, it says he was at the vision in chapter 7. He was anxious. He was alarmed. His color changed. Chapter 8, his response is very similar to this chapter. He was frightened. He fell on his face at the words of the one who stood above the river. He fell into a deep sleep with his face to the ground. Someone touched him and made him stand. That's back in chapter 8. At the end of the vision, he was overcome and sick for days. He was appalled. He did not understand. Chapter 9, he has another appearance of an angel. No response. His own response is not recorded. Here, Daniel says he has no strength left in him. His radiant appearance was fearfully changed. He retained no strength. Now, remember, Daniel for 3 weeks has been going without delicacies, without meat and wine, without anointing himself with oils. He was already probably not looking his best. But now his splendor was changed to ruin. Whatever was good in him was turned to destruction, turned to corruption. Anything good in him was turned to corruption. In verse 8, seeing the vision left Daniel undone, doubly drained of strength. In verse 9, hearing the sound of his words left him passed out with his face in the dirt. He was entirely undone, unconscious, face down on the ground. This is a picture of ultimate weakness. Total inability. What can you do when you're passed out in the dirt, face in the ground, unconscious? In verse 10, he receives his first touch, first of 3 touches from the Lord. This touch strengthened him to be able to tremble on hands and knees. The first touch brought him back from the dead, as it were, back to consciousness, and strengthened him, enabled him to kneel. Trembling, hands and knees before this great vision. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved. Now let's pause right there. Daniel is addressed as a man greatly loved. Remember, he is just having passed out from seeing this vision. Now he's shaking on his hands and knees. And the voice says, Daniel, calls him by name, you are greatly loved. He's addressed this way 3 times, back in chapter 9, verse 23, here in chapter 10, verse 11, again in chapter 10, verse 19. Daniel is a recipient of revelation because he is greatly loved. John the Apostle, the one who received the revelation of Jesus Christ, refers to himself in the Gospel of John repeatedly as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Daniel and John are special. They were greatly loved. And so are you. Ephesians 2, God, because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. We are, Romans 1, loved by God and called to be saints. Colossians 3, we are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You are greatly loved. You are so loved that God gave his only son for you. He said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Now we have a word from this messenger that strengthens Daniel to rise from trembling on his hands and knees to trembling on his feet before this great one. Daniel was strengthened by a touch, now strengthened by a word to stand and to understand. Verse 12, and he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." First thing the messenger says is, "Fear not." Obvious why he needed to say that. There is much legitimately to be afraid of in the presence of God. So his fears are allayed by a word, "Fear not. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to give you what you deserve. Fear not." Now he communicates that Daniel had set out to do two things. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, Daniel set out to do those two things. He set his heart to understand. The understanding Daniel was seeking was not just intellectual. It was heart understanding. It was understanding in the core of his being. Understanding that affected all of him, mind, emotions, will. Not just a head knowledge, but a whole person understanding that affects the emotions, that affects the actions. Daniel set his heart to understand, and he humbled himself before his God. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Daniel's fears are put to rest because of two things. Fear not, for your words were heard, and fear not, God answers prayer. Your words were heard. Fear not, your words were heard. Fear not, I have come because of your words. God answers prayers. Now we're going to save verses 13 and 14 dealing with heavenly warfare for next time. We're going to jump down to verse 15 because it connects with what we're looking at today. Daniel 10 verse 15, "When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, 'O my Lord, by reason of the visions, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me.'" The first touch strengthened him from unconsciousness, enabled him to kneel trembling. Then a word that he was loved strengthened him to stand trembling. Now hearing the message again leaves him back with his face toward the ground, this time unable to speak. Ever been unable to speak? He had no words. He couldn't cry for help. He couldn't ask for help. But God intervened without being asked. See, there's times when we don't have words. And that's okay. God can respond to the cry of our hearts. Daniel receives a second touch, this time on his lips in response to his inability to speak. Daniel has to be strengthened even to be able to utter a prayer. Daniel can't pray. without being supernaturally enabled to pray. Now enabled to mouth a prayer, he expresses weakness, pain, as a result of the vision. He is still without strength. He expresses his inability to talk to his sovereign, his Lord. He is without strength. He is even without breath. I think it's like four times that he mentions his emptiness of strength, his total lack of strength. Again, verse 18. One having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Here we see a third touch from this heavenly messenger. Again, Daniel is addressed as, O man greatly loved. Again, he is told, fear not. This time the messenger speaks not only against his fear, but he speaks a word of shalom, a word of peace, a word of strength upon strength. When it says, be strong and of good courage, it's literally, be strong and be strong. He repeats himself. And Daniel is strengthened. Strengthened by this touch, strengthened by this word. He is now sufficiently strengthened to hear the word of the Lord. See, we need spiritual strength even to hear the word of the Lord. That's why Daniel is strengthened here. That's why Daniel is on his face and needs to be lifted up to his hands and knees, lifted up to his feet, opened his mouth so he can express his need, his weakness, his utter inability. Now strengthened to be able to hear the word of the Lord. We need spiritual strength to receive God's word. A lot of people read the Bible. A lot of people don't understand what it says. I'm sure a lot of you have had that experience of, yeah, I've read that verse, I've heard that verse, and today when I read that verse, wow, it opened up. I saw truth there that I had never seen before. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, the Holy Spirit, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. A lot of people have access to this book. It's freely given. You can get an app on your phone freely. It's there. But we need God's Spirit that we might understand the things freely given. When you open your Bible every day to read God's Word, and you ought to open your Bible every day to read God's Word, and before you do, you should pray, cry out to God, I am a man, I am a woman of no strength. I can't understand this without your Spirit enabling me to understand. Would you open my ears, open my eyes, open my heart? Would you strengthen me to receive what you want to say to me today? We have been given the Spirit of God that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, foolishness to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Daniel is weak. Daniel is helpless. Daniel is totally undone, even unconscious. He was totally unable even to kneel, even to pray, even to receive God's word. He is revived strengthened to kneel trembling. Then he is strengthened to stand trembling. Then he is strengthened to pray and express his own weakness and need. Finally, he is strengthened to hear God's word. Daniel is totally dependent on the strengthening touch, the strengthening word of God, as are we. Paul says he will not boast in 2 Corinthians 12 except of his own weakness. When he prayed for deliverance from satanic oppression, Jesus answered him in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul is praying for deliverance. He's got a thorn in his side, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, to keep him from becoming proud, to keep him humble. And he prays for rescue, and Jesus says, "No, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." We need to be weak before the Lord. We need to be kept on our knees in humility, acknowledging our need. Therefore, Paul says, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And it's not my strength, it's the power of Christ in me, working through me. Let's pray. Father, we need to be reminded of our need. Sometimes we need to find ourselves unconscious with our face in the dirt, to remember that we can't earn your favor. We can't even bow the knee, pray a prayer, understand your word without your intervention. We are a needy people, and yet we are so greatly loved. You don't leave us with our face in the mud. You reach down and touch us right where we are, right in our weakness, in our inability. You lift us up. You can open hard hearts to the truth of your word, to the truth of your good news. And Holy Spirit, you've done that for us, so that we can see the light of the glory of the good news shining in the face of our Lord Jesus, who came to lay down his life for sinners like me. Thank you, Jesus, for lifting me up out of the mud, setting me on my feet, touching my lips to open my mouth to utter, to acknowledge my own need, to enable me to pray. Thank you that you answer those prayers that we don't even have the strength to pray. Thank you that you are at work. Thank you that you are at work today saving sinners, setting us free by the good news of Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come. I pray for everyone here that they would flee to you, Jesus, to run into your open arms and find welcome, find hope, find transformation. Experience today your grace in a tangible, real way. We would know our sins forgiven, nailed to the cross. That we would set our hearts to know and understand, to treasure, to delight in the gospel. Be at work in us by your Holy Spirit. Enable us to believe, enable us to understand, enable us to overflow with the joy that you pour out on us in love. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your holy, righteous, and good name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite a few of the men to come and prepare to serve communion. This is an opportunity to remember. Jesus invited us at the last Passover meal that he celebrated with his disciples. He redirected Passover and says, yeah, this is actually about me, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The bread, it's my body broken for you. The juice, it's my blood poured out to wash you clean, to make you new. Shortly after Jesus went to the cross, died for my sins, paid my price in full, and today he welcomes me into his presence to receive forgiveness and life and joy. We're going to serve you. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're welcome to take a piece of bread, a cup of juice, and as you hold those in your hands, as we're all served, reflect on what Jesus did for you. Remember the cross, what it cost for you to be forgiven, for you to experience today God's favor, God's blessing, God's presence. Enjoy the gift you've been given. And once we've all been served, we'll give thanks and receive that together. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place, for enduring the wrath that should have been mine, taking what I deserve, paying my price in full. Thank you, Jesus, we today receive your grace. His body broken for you, take and eat. His blood poured out for you, drink.